For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, but not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this fourth Sunday after Trinity, we are reminded by Paul to his epistle to the Romans that we have something beyond our current trials and tribulations that we can look forward to. We as Christians are uniquely blessed in saying that we have a hope in a loving God. As St. Paul says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. The creature, as Paul says here, us as humans, but also all of creation, waits for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the children of the church, us, are the initial fulfillment of this manifestation. We are the first fruits of the full redemption of everything, of all of creation, the entire cosmos. So we are made holy by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the God uses the good works that we do and the consistent and constant turning back from sin to Christ and running into his bosom to make us into the sons of God. Paul says we have been adopted as heirs and co-heirs by Jesus, as sons of God, by Jesus and his through his death and resurrection. So this is something to give thanks for. We are now sons and daughters of the King. This is something to give thanksgiving for, especially in the midst of our sufferings. And this is something that we have the blessing to be able to do as Christians, to lift up our sufferings to God, and bring our sufferings alongside of his sufferings on the cross. Because as baptized Christians, our sufferings are redeemed in the act of what Jesus did on the cross. And so this is something special. So in the midst of our sufferings, we can give thanksgiving. St. John Chrysostom, an early church father, says this about us being the first fruits of creation. For if the first fruit be so great that we are freed even from our sins now, and attain righteousness and sanctification, and that those of that time, the time of the apostles, both drove out devils and raised the dead by just the touching of the apostles' shadows on the afflicted, or the garments of the apostles, consider how great what is to come. Consider how much what is in store for us. Brothers and sisters, if the first fruits of God's mercy are already this great that we're experiencing, already great enough, if Christ has begun to free us from our sins, which he has, to make us holy and to set us on a path of righteousness, to breaking our chains of addiction, then how much greater must our fulfillment be? How much greater is the fullness of the redemption of the resurrection yet to come? The miracles worked by the apostles in the earliest days of the church reminds us that God's grace is not small. It's not something ordinary. This is a powerful, living, and active part of the church. So we give thanks even in our trials, because what we have now is just only the beginning. God will bless us even more. We are the first fruits of an even greater harvest. So the first fruits, the first signs of the kingdom of God, bringing a completion in us and a complete redemption of us and the entire cosmos. A man once inherited a piece of land from his father, land that had been in the family for generations. And when he went to first see it, he didn't think it was much. The soil was hard. There were all kinds of pests everywhere, weeds, and it almost seemed like it was barren. But to anyone passing by, it would have been like, oh, that's a useless piece of land. There's nothing special there. But this man knew something others did not. He had seen the plans his father had left behind. He knew what the land was meant to be. So he began to work on it. He began cleaning. He began pulling stones and pulling weeds and moving all these things. The hard work of an agricultural farmer. He began planting seeds. Day after day, the labor was slow, often frustrating, the sun beating down on his brow, the sweat coming off of his forehead. And there were times he wondered if it was really worth it. But one morning, small green sprouts started sprouting up. Just a few at first, but then there became many. And these were the first fruits. This is proof that the land was alive and that the promise of a good land was real and that something far greater was about to happen. So he knew when he saw those first fruits, first shoots, that this was not the harvest. Obviously, you can't harvest a bean sprout, but he knew that there was something more to come. This was only the beginning, but because of them, he could endure the work because he saw the first fruits. He could endure the work. He could endure the waiting. He could endure the setbacks because this was a sign of what was to come. And in that time, the field became overgrown, became beautiful, a green, lush land, rich and abundant, which was at one point barren and dry. And this was beyond the capacity of anyone's imagination for this land. But in the same way, what God has begun in us now, even in the small hidden acts of God's grace and this sometimes what seems like God's absence, but the grace is in us and moving in and through us. And this grace we experience, this holiness of God, working in us. These are the first fruits. There's more to come. They are an assurance for us in the midst of our trials that there is a full and glorious redemption still to come at the second coming, at the general resurrection, when there won't be any more bodily pain, when everything will be made perfect. Our bodies will be in perfect union with God, with creation, and with itself. That is something to give praise for. And St. John Chrysostom, in speaking of this, he goes on and says, "For this is the full redemption, not a redemption only, but such that we shall never again return to our former capacity of sinfulness, of mourning, of suffering. But for that you may not be perplexed at hearing it such great a glory that is to come, without getting any sort of knowledge of it, experiencing it for yourself, God partially exposes your views to the things to come, giving us a foretaste and setting before us the changes of our body and along with it the changes of whole creation." We see this in the beauty of the miracles of the church, of the saints coming before of Saint Seraphim of Sarov, where the bear comes and sits next to the man in the middle of the forest, of Saint Francis of Assisi preaching to the birds, and Saint Kevin experiencing a bird nest in his hand because he's praying to God for so long. This is the redemption these are sneak peeks of the full redemption of God's creation. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to seek the Lord's goodness today in the midst of our sufferings and our trials. And those sufferings and trials are real. I'm not diminishing that. In the midst of our pain and sufferings, things get really dark. But the Holy Spirit is with us. The family of God is with us. We can lean on God and lean on each other. But we also know that we can enjoy God's promises through what Jesus Christ has done for us, because we are the first fruits of what is to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.